Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 32 of the A1 Auto Body Podcast with your host Nick Sands. Today I am talking with my buddy Bob from ChemX. He's a super cool dude. He has a super cool company. You should definitely go check him out. I hope that you enjoy this podcast. And if you could do me a favor, and if you're on Apple Podcasts, if you could leave me a 5-star review, or actually leave me any review, however many stars you think I deserve. And then if you could also just leave me a comment and let me know what you thought, what you liked, what you didn't like. I would really appreciate it. I hope you guys enjoy the show. Have a wonderful day. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the A1 Auto Body Podcast with your host, Nick Sands. Today, I have on Bob Hoyle. Bob is the owner of ChemX. And actually, they do a lot more than I even realized. So when I first looked into them, I actually thought that they just did washes, but now talking to Bob, apparently they do like pretty much anything that has to do with washing your truck, from wash bays to wash products to pretty much anything you could need. Does that sound right, Bob?
What's happening? Yeah, I mean, I think so. You know, we like try and do whatever we can, you know, to be helpful toward the washing process, you know, within reason. You know, if it's possible, we try and figure out ways. I don't know. That seems like it makes sense, right?
Yeah. I just didn't realize quite like the breadth of what you guys do. I didn't, like, you were just telling me that you build wash bays and stuff. I did not realize that you did that.
Yeah, no, I kind of grew up in the power washer industry, you know, like making, helping companies, you know, with equipment that they would need to do the job, you know, getting set up with the soaps and all that stuff, you know, and that was kind of our whole thing, you know, was helping speed up the wash process and helping companies do their own washing, you know. So it's kind of a cool thing. It's just something I just grew up in, you know.
So was this like a family business?
Yeah. So originally it was started by my father back in 1979. So like I wasn't born until 1984. So, you know, it was already kind of, rocking and rolling by the time I came along, you know? So I grew up in this industry, just kind of watching it, you know, watching it through different time periods. So, you know, I definitely got to a huge head start, I guess, you know?
Obviously I am big on family businesses, because I'm a part of one.
Yeah, what, no, big time.
What was it like coming into, like, a business that's already fully functioning? You know what I mean? Like, you had your own kind of, I'm sure, trials and tribulations, but you didn't have that, like, initial startup, those initial, like, growing pains and hiccups and stuff.
Yeah,
what was that like?
Well, I was born during a really good economic time, you know, like I think the 80s, like mid 80s through early 90s were pretty good. But I remember like there's a lot of economic downturn in the early 90s. So when I was like maybe, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old, I remember just like massive like repercussions of like things were just always kind of going downhill, you know. So like I remember you know, for a long time, like there was just struggles, you know, and like kind of just doing what we had to make ends meet, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you know, there's been a lot of like things over the years, you know, but then there's been good times too, you know. Like there's been, I remember, you know, ultimately my memories being a kid, there was a lot of like good, you know, I remember my father was a huge car fanatic. And, I mean, I remember he bought over like 100 cars from one dealership alone. It was insane.
What?
Yeah. Over the course of my childhood, you know? And it almost seems like I'm probably making that. It almost seems like I'm probably making that up, but it's for real. Anyways,
was
so he was
collector?
A baller. Well, he was just, you know, he was successful, you know, he was a baller, you know? So like, basically, you know, there was a lot of strong economy back then. And, you know, that was the pinnacle of like what I remember as a kid of like, you know, what this industry could be like, or industry in general, I guess, you know. But, you know, it was kind of a lot of downturn from there because, you know, that was pretty on the high end, you know, of, you know, the high side of life, I guess. But as time went on, we kind of struggled, and like we were part I remember my father was a part of a bigger network. Like the Chemex name was a different, it was spelled differently when I was a kid. It was a bigger like network of businesses, and my father was a distributor of like one of them. So basically he was like one of the more successful distributors, I guess you could say, like in the New England area, so basically in the 90s when the economy took a nosedive, like that main franchisor kind of ended up going out of business. There's a bunch of different details there, but we decided to keep going because we were, we're still like we have a good, customer base. My father had made a pretty good name. Sold a ton of power washers, had a bunch of like companies who were using, us. So we ended up. I remember when we were, man, that was probably when I was 12, 10 years old or somewhere around there. And then we ended up hiring the chemist kind of like as a subcontractor from that bigger company. And so we just kept making soap and, just kept on going. But, there was a lot of like other like downturns too. There was like 2001 was when I started when I was 16. So, I mean, you can remember what that was like. I don't know if you guys dealt with it much back then. But,
I
there
was,
was like,
I think
there
I
was
was
some
in eighth
struggles.
grade. I was young. We
Oh,
actually didn't
really?
even, we hadn't even bought the shop. We didn't buy, we bought the shop 12 years ago now, 13 years ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I'm showing my age, So,
you
anyways.
look much more handsome than me, so don't worry about it.
Well, thank you. Well, so like, so anyways, there was that. So it's been like a lot of like different, struggles, economy wise, trying to get it back to, I've always just wanted to take what we do and kind of make it fun. And when I was about 16, the economy was like not super great because, we had the World Trade Center stuff go down and whatnot. That was right when I started. So there's a little bit of impact there. So we weren't like on the best like footing as a business when I was a teenager, at that point, like, my father was very successful when I was younger, but it kind of dwindled down because of all the downturn to where it was just basically me and my parents. So I was like the physical laborer and then they were like the office labor.
Isn't it
So
weird how that always happens, isn't it?
yeah, so I kind of was like more of like I was kind of the grunt worker, like I like actually started when I was about 8 years old, washing the all the empty containers, the 55 gallon containers would come back in. So I was the barrel washer, right? So I had like my waterproof boots and like my whatever. I had a cold water power washer and some degreaser, and I would clean up all the drums and make them look fresh so we could fill them up and send it back out, So that was my first job with it, and then I ended up when I was 16. I had done some, riding along with my father's guys, but by the time I was 16, like it was pretty much to the point where I just hopped into a pickup truck and just started doing the delivering of the chemicals, So I was at the shop kind of like semi mixing chemicals, like putting stuff together for the washes and like kind of prepping the products, labeling them and like just the whole process of putting them together and getting them ready for the customers, And so I was doing that pretty much. And just keeping the customers running that were already set up, So here I was like 16 and I had all these like big companies, and I was just a 16-year-old kid showing up and people are like, who is this? Like what the heck is this kid? This is like we deal with Chemex, it used to be spelled Chemex back in the day. That was
Okay.
how that original network was. And then so anyways, here I was, just continuing on like nothing, we're still doing the soaps. The power washers were no longer being made because that was something made by the bigger network that my father's a part of. So I started refurbishing them, like the ones that were out in the field. They were like really nice units that my father sold. They were like really good power washer that lasted a long time. So, basically I was able to take those and keep those running, And then basically that gave me a lot of experience with like how machines were made, like how power washers were made, how they worked. I had to keep them running for all these companies. So like we had to, hundreds of companies that were like using these power washers and the soaps. So anyways, it ended up being I don't know, probably, oh geez, that was probably almost 20 years ago now that I started doing that. I mean, there's a lot of history there, dude. I've probably talked for like 10 hours on this.
No, that's great.
Oh my goodness.
I'll cut it into 3 or 4 episodes.
So anyways, so you know, I just kind of kept doing that and just kept, you know, maintaining customer base. And just right around when I was somewhere between 16 to 18, it's hard for me to know exactly when, but I started seeing some of the show trucks that were driving around and noticing them, you know what I mean? you see a show truck go by, like, and it's dialed in, you're like, oh, well, what is
oh,
that?
Yeah.
You know, like, it snaps your neck, you know? And
trucks,
so
those,
I remember...
Trucks are those things that, you know, nobody likes to admit that they like them. Like, it's almost like people are almost seem like it's childish to like trucks or something until one drives by and then everybody looks, right?
Cool. Yeah. It's
nobody
like, whoa,
drive
yeah. Well, it's shiny, you know, and it's like colorful, you know, there's like a lot of pride that, you know, people that any owner of a show truck or driver of a show truck appreciates. And, you know, you see that work ethic through, you know, how that vehicle is maintained, right? It's like a
Absolutely.
Weird connection,
it's
but
art.
It's like, it is, it's an art form, and like, it stands out. It's really cool. You know? So like, I remember it was the first truck that I saw that I noticed was, it was one of SRS's trucks. I don't know if you know them down in Southington, Connecticut, but
yep,
they have a 999. It was Jerry. I don't know if it was Jerry Bodine driving it, but he was driving. I'm pretty sure it was him because it was like way back. Anyways. But I remember that truck, you know,
yeah,
and I remember seeing that and thinking, man, I want to deal with it, because we were dealing with like really, you know, nice companies, you know, big companies, but nothing like that shiny. So I was like, man, we got to get to where, like, how do they do that? You know, it might kind of make me curious, like, how do they maintain a truck like that? You know,
right?
And so, you know, is there some kind of magic soap that they're using? Or like, I didn't understand it, you know. And so it kind of made me curious, and I just ended up, I don't know, I just kind of wanted to try and figure out how to be, like, helpful to that kind of crowd, you know, like, it just seemed fun. There was something about it that was appealing, and I was like, well, that would be really cool someday, you know, like, so it's been a long road to, like, build a product line that works for trucks like that, because it is really difficult, you know, and I mean, I've had, like, a lot of heartache on the road to figuring out how to wash a truck like that, because it is not easy, you know. I mean, you know, washing mirror polished aluminum down without damaging it, you know, just you know, so many different, some trucks have leather on them, you know, they have and you're trying to also clean them fast, you know, so like you're trying to figure out a way to make a formula that works but is also not damaging, you know. That's very difficult. It's been a very difficult thing to try and figure out how to do those kind of trucks.
Do you
but,
have any,
you know,
kind of chemistry or science like background?
No, I don't have anything but like experience. So like my parents homeschooled me, so like we ended up like I never got put into, it just means I never got put into real school, you know, like, I mean, homeschooling is good. I think many parents tackle it well, but like, you know, for me, it was more like, it was like a self-education, you know, at a certain point. I ended up getting a diploma before I was like, I think I was like 18, 19, right around there. But through correspondence and whatnot, you know, but
yeah.
As far as like a chemistry background, I know nothing at all. My only, like, the only thing I do is learn from like what works, what doesn't work. And I'm not a chemist at all. I don't do any chemistry either.
Okay.
Like, I've always worked with, cause I would never trust myself to like do that level of anything. Cause, you know, I know from experience what will work and through testing what a formula will do through experience, but I have to get hands on. I can't figure out what's going on a, you know, like on a piece of paper on a worksheet, you know?
Right.
So like, I've always had chemists around me who are helpful, you know, in helping me get my goals accomplished, you know what I mean? So, you know, I think that some people might think I'm like a chemist or something like that, but I don't really, Yeah, that's definitely not my thing. I would love it if it was. I would love to be that hands-on and that level, but that's a very dedicated professional field. You know what I mean? That's not something that I think I even should mess with necessarily. You know, it's like, I don't know, it's hard to explain.
No, I got what you're saying. I mean,
You know?
I paint trucks. I definitely shouldn't be developing paint.
There's like, right, you know how to, you know what the paint does, you know what the components do, what you like about the components, and you know that when you use certain components in your paint, you're going to get a certain result. You know what I mean? I think that's kind of more my thing is, you know, I do know what I can expect from chemical compounds, you know, when I look at an SDS or, you know, just even like dream up a different way to do something, and you can maybe brainstorm with chemists. But like, you know, when it comes to actually like measuring the gravity in a formula, or like, you know, any of the like, oh my, there's so much to the chemistry
Any of
world.
the real science stuff.
It's like, you know, so I do lean on, you know, chemists in my network, you know. So I've got like probably, oh, I don't know how many. I have a few really good chemist connections, probably half a dozen. So like basically I can take those connections and I can use that network in a way that helps me develop products that I can then make. We do make our stuff over at our place, over where we are in Agawam. But you know, the actual chemistry of it and formulation of it, I don't know much about. As far as the actual, you know, I don't know how to put that. I guess it would be like,
The
you know,
actual, like, you know what soap, you know what soap, what you want your soap to do,
I know what I want my
and you
soaps to do,
know
and I
when
do
your
know
soap
what the
isn't doing what it's supposed to do. You
right,
just can't
yeah.
make the soap
And that's
change to be what
also
you want it to be.
a sort of hybrid of like what my customers say back to me too. You know, like there's what I want and what I'm kind of pushing for, but then there's also the feedback I'm getting, which I use to kind of refine issues, if that makes any sense. I've
Yeah,
always
no,
made the
that
most progress from negative feedback.
makes sense.
So like, you
Everybody
know,
does.
there's, yeah, I think that's probably common, right? So, you know, that's kind of an interesting thing where like anytime we've had serious, you know, conversations with a customer is really unhappy about something. I think that's when we've made the most progress. 'Cause then we like, okay, we know, okay, we have a strong thing. We know, need to go in a different direction, right?
Right.
You know, here's an issue here. We know, you know, and so that's stuff that I was fortunate to overcome some years ago now. And now we're kind of doing some more minor tweaks, you know, things that are like, right now our goal has been to get like a little bit better touchless wash, like even when there's like hard water, because we had like developed a touchless soap system that was like, it was pretty good. There's a lot of people who really liked it, but it had a weakness where like it couldn't really clean that good if the water was hard. And hard water is kind of an inhibitor. It doesn't really let soaps do their thing, you know? So like we kind of had to go back to the drawing board a little bit with our touchless technique to try and figure out a way to get a good wash, even if water is, you know, even if you're washing with well water or like water that leaves water spots and all kinds of minerals and junk, you know, like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that's been something that, you know, we've been working on for a while. That's pretty exciting. I'm pretty excited about those for sure. Those are the new touchless washes we just came out with.
Is that the Stars and Stripes
Yeah, those are
product line?
the Stars and Stripes. Yeah, we came up with that. We've probably been working on those for a year and a half.
Wow.
And it's been, you know, just kind of, you know, we had to figure out a different route to go, you know, a fully different set of formulas. And it was, you know, it was a lot of trial and error. And then, like, you know, just getting feedback over time, making sure we were on the right track, and taking any place where, you know, the results weren't what the customer was looking for. And then saying, here, you know, try this out. Let's see what you think about this. And then, realizing at a certain point we had something based on that. I don't know if that makes sense, but basically compiling the customer's experiences until, you know, we had something that worked.
Right.
Even if it was hard water, you know, where the problems were. You know, because that was the challenge. Was like when I was a kid, I was blending. I was blending hydrofluoric acid.
So you are a chemist.
Well, I was actually working with the chemicals. You know what I mean? I just. Yeah. Anyways, so I started doing that when I was around probably 11. But yeah, I actually used to blend stuff like hydrofluoric acid or sodium hydroxide, potassium hydroxide, really harsh stuff. And that's the kind of stuff that really does a good job taking all the road film off a vehicle. So, you know, what's funny is like, but it's so harsh, you know, like I knew that we had to stop making stuff like that.
Right.
At a certain point, you know what I mean? Where it was just too aggressive and it was getting a good wash, but it was taking all the road film off, but it's taking off a little bit of the windshield and it's taking all of the, you know, the mirror polish off of anything that anybody's trying to polish. Those formulas were designed, you know, in the 70s.
Yeah.
So there was some updating that needed to be done. You know, there's new things that are being washed. You know, people are starting to shine their trucks up and getting some polish going. So making a touchless wash that wasn't going to damage those was difficult. And I think our last generation of soaps was we had the M-Shine wash, which is like our mirror polished aluminum restorer wash, which is still applicable from restoring aluminum, but it was also dual purpose. It was our pre-soak that we knew was safe on mirror polished aluminum and was used in a two-stage process with a second step called Redline. I'm probably making this overly complicated, but...
No, you're good.
Anyway, so like that was our, you know, our mirror polished, you know, show truck safe wash, but it just didn't have quite enough pep to get it done where there was hard water. So I was bothered by that. And that's basically what Stars and Stripes is. So Stars and Stripes is our two-step, you know, touchless wash approach. And that's basically, I think, you know, all the history I'm talking about, all those power washers my father sold, they all pumped two chemicals. I think I neglected to mention that. So like basically the concept of a touchless wash is you have to put a low pH on, like an acid basically, and then you have to put a high pH over it, which is an alkaline. And what happens is they shock neutral, and that helps the, in theory, from how I understand it, is that the static bond on the surface is released. And that's what's holding on the road film in the first place. So at that point, you can just power wash road film off. And it's not a, you know, it's not a struggle. You know, so now
right. You
can save a lot of time. You know, that was the idea. So that's still kind of the direction that I've found works best. Stars and Stripes works good, but it's not a, you know, it's not aggressive to the point where it would, like, harm mirror polished aluminum or paint or glass or, you know, anything like that. And it works on ceramic coatings and cars and all that stuff too. So it's basically a method that I'm trying to like teach people that kind of helps them save time, gets trucks clean quicker and makes them look really good without, you know, even touching them at all. So that's kind of how we do it, is by using two steps, you know? So at least if you're trying to do the touchless thing.
It's crazy listening to you talk about like how much effort and stuff, like the immense amount of effort, and like you're obviously very passionate about this. I can tell just like by the way you're talking and the way you talk about it that this is something that, you know, you take very seriously, but you also seem to just really enjoy it.
I do love it. It's fun. I have a great time doing it. You know, there's a lot of really cool people in the trucking industry. You know, it's fun to get to know everybody.
I feel like a lot of people, myself included, don't appreciate how much work goes into something as simple as washing your truck.
Yeah, there's a lot to it, you know. We're lucky in a way because we're kind of isolated. Like, we have our own way of doing things, I guess. From, you know, my whole background is kind of a weird kind of curveball, I feel like, compared to the way things are normally done, which is kind of cool. So, like, I don't know, I kind of, once I started posting, like, what we do, you know, it just kind of started kind of working, I guess, you know. I remember it was probably, five, six years ago, probably now. It was one of the first truck shows that I did. It was a customer of mine by the name of Jason Telkzar. He's a friend of mine to this day. We still work together. But he was driving for a customer of mine locally, and they had some really cool trucks. And he was a really nice dude. And he was just pushing me to get into doing shows. You know, he's like, you should go to the truck show, the tent, and bring your soap over there, you know? And I thought, like, wow, that's a crazy idea. I never, like, thought of, you know, doing that. That was probably about, I don't know, it's got to be 6 years now. So anyways, he pointed me in the direction of this local truck club. And it was a Road Rangers club. And it was kind of headed up by a couple of people that were pretty cool truckers. It was a fellow Scott, and then woman Amy ran it. And it was they were just hosting truck shows. They're just getting into hosting some truck shows locally, you know. So that was the first place I ever had a tent and put, you know, as a vendor and came into a truck show and just hung out.
Right.
And I couldn't give my stuff away, man. I had, like, I bottled everything down that we had and, you know, just the soaps that we were working with at the time. And, man, it was just, like, it was difficult. It was hard to give. It was hard to give the stuff away. I was surprised, you know. I thought at least people would, like, be interested in talking or, like, try, you know, pick up a little bit of stuff to try.
Right.
But it was a struggle, you know. And then, but, you know, I got to know some cool people. And I ended up, the lady who ran it, Amy, that I mentioned earlier, I gave her a little thing in my soap. It was like a gallon container of it. I was like, here, let me hook you up with some of this for your own truck. You know, I hope you like it. Thank you for having me here. You know, like, just like something to be nice, you know?
Yeah.
And so she took it, and she was really cool. And then she went to use it, and she had a East trailer, I think it was. You know, like the nice, you know, smooth side trailer where it's like, you know, nice mirror polished trailer, but it was really let go. And it wasn't her fault. It was just like a, you know, a trailer that someone else there had let go. And it was just something that they were looking to kind of clean up.
Right.
So she was going to wash it down, and it was kind of a nice day. So I was like, let me just ride over there. I just took like a motorcycle ride over. They're pretty close by. And I just showed up, and we washed down the trailer. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, it went good, you know, and because it was kind of a newer product. So anyways, I was there and we were washing it. It didn't look like much, but like when it dried, it was like the water kind of leaves a film on mirror polished aluminum until it evaporates. And it makes it look less reflective. So once the water evaporated off this, I didn't think anything was really happening to this trailer. It looked like a mess when we got there. And I was almost apologizing to her. I remember I was like, I'm so sorry. I thought this stuff would do more, you know? And
no wonder I can't give this stuff away.
So anyways, it dried. And her boss was Rob Lockwood at the time, came over. He was there in kind of like, on the edge of the Berkshires out my way out here. And he came over. He's like, what did you do to my trailer? And I almost kind of panicked. I'm like, oh, no. Ruined something. Like, it's even worse than I thought. And we looked at it, and when it dried, it was like a perfect mirror. It just looked so good. And they were, like, blown away. And they had been trying to sell that trailer for, like, I mean, I forget how long it was, but it was a while. And I remember they called me up to say that they had sold it like a few days later. That's how I remember it. I hope I remember that accurately. They're probably listening right now and thinking I'm butchering the story.
No, it's fine.
Anyway,
now it's history.
So that was, you know, so she took a picture of it before and then after. And she posted it on her Facebook page. And I had she tagged me. I had a Facebook page, but it was more for like, you know, oh, we were at this place the other day, you know, like just, we were at a party or whatever, you
right.
know, whatever you post on Facebook. At the time, I wasn't really thinking truckers or my clientele were on there. You know, I wasn't really connecting the dots. So she posted that and tagged me. And I was like, oh, that's really like, look at that. You know, people were like kind of lining up, like liking the, you know how it goes, you know, you get all the likes on there and you're like, wow, look at that. That's like, people appreciate this picture. Right.
Right.
And so
your dopamine levels were high.
Yeah, we're like, wow, this dopamine is nice, you know. People appreciate it.
I can see why people get addicted to this.
Yeah, so like, you know, I didn't really realize until that moment how something like Instagram or Facebook could help us, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I started using the Facebook, my personal Facebook, and then it started becoming a problem when I, like, 'cause they cap you at 5,000 friends. And I was like, it doesn't seem very like, you know, like if it's growing, you know, like we got to bring this party somewhere where it's going to keep growing, you know? So I switched it over to the Facebook business page. And then that ended up passing 5,000 followers a while back. But the Instagram page, it's funny, the Instagram page that I had at the time, I'd posted on there for like 2 years, I think, with like no likes. Like, I look back at it every now and then, I'm like, I can't believe I kept posting for like this long without anyone acknowledging anything. So, and then about, I don't know when it just started working. I don't know. It just started kind of growing. And then Instagram became the primary kind of platform. At this point, like it's twice the size of the Facebook one, which is pretty cool. So that's exciting. We get a lot of work through that, you know, and it helps us make our website work. And, you know, we post pictures of what the clients, you know, do with the stuff we make. And it's pretty exciting, you know.
Yeah,
So.
your page is wicked cool. And also you do a great job, like you make like videos, you make little like things, you talk about your company, you talk about how to use the products properly. I your page is super informative.
I appreciate it. It's like my full-time job, honestly. Like at this point, I've got one of my best friends, is Keith. He's like a he was one of the people who noticed what was going on first when I was talking about that story with the trailer and like what was happening on Facebook there. And I was continuing to post stuff and like, but he was seeing like oh, this is like a potential, you know. So we ended up teaming up and deciding to make it go crazy. I forget why I even brought that up. What were we just talking about? We were talking about, oh, so yeah, basically I have him as like my GM. So he's like the general manager of Chemex, right? And he's the guy who answers the phone when the 800 number rings. Now, at this point, I'm the guy who speaks back in the DMs, right? So like all of the DMs, whether it's on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or whatever, YouTube, any of the channels. Like that's basically me, and then I've got both of his brothers at this point. His brother Kevin runs the DSLR. You'll hear me say on videos like, "Hey, what's up, Kev?" or "I don't know, Kev," or whatever. So that's his brother. His brother's provided his own DSLR for our videos, which is super cool of him. And then, you know, I do all the editing. So we kind of team up. Me and his brother Kev team up on the video projects, and then his brother Nate. He's the one who does all the shipping. So every order that ships out of our company is Nate palletizing it, boxing it, pulling the order. We all kind of take a share at bottling and labeling and stuff, or running the showroom. We're kind of spread thin. There's only four of us over there. It's really actually pretty small.
Just the amount of work that you're talking about seems like you need more than four people.
I need to probably find some more people. I don't know. It's hard, you know, because it's you almost have to be working enough for like two people each before you can hire somebody. I don't know. I got to make some moves soon, but
You
you
heard
know,
it
it
here
is
first.
definitely growing. So, but yeah, we're definitely, you know, we're definitely busy over there, which is cool, you know. But we're kind of like a well-oiled machine right now. So I still got to like figure out when we can like make the move and who what the move is. You know, that we could probably use some help on like bookkeeping. I do have a bookkeeper who works remotely, but I need some in-house, like, you know,
That's the worst is when you have
assistance.
a good like you have a good thing with your teammates and then you have to like add someone in and you're like, well, I hope this works.
I know. And it's like, you know, we have such a good energy there, and the vibe is so positive, and like, it only takes one person to throw
Yep.
it off.
That's so
So
true.
I don't know. I'm trying to take my time on the next one, and you know, then wait for the time, you know, when it's right, because it's like, you know, you never know. Like right now we're dealing with the obviously this virus thing, which is kind of like looming, you know. And you know, we're kind of wondering, you know, it's like, oh, what's going to happen with supply chains, you know.
Yeah.
So you know, we've been
Are you
talking
worried
about
about
that stuff.
are you
Well,
worried
I
about
mean, we move a lot of stuff from like, you know, a lot of power washer parts are made in Germany or Italy. Like we have the Suttner foamers, the big nice foam cannons we build. You know, we move a ton of those. I didn't realize we're actually like one of the bigger like distributors of all those pieces. And you know, but they come out of Germany, you know. And then like the most popular foam cannon, or at least the highest quality foam cannon I know of, is the MTM Hydro PF22. That's made in Italy, you know. So you know, there's some there's some spots that are getting impacted right now. And I mean, it'll pass, but you know, who knows what to expect in the meantime. You know, I just hope that the people are okay. That's going to be, you know, it's a definitely a scary topic, you know?
Yeah.
So,
especially where it's affecting it's mostly affecting older people.
I know. Yeah. And it's all tragic. You know, I mean, it's definitely, you know, I'm just hoping that it's, you know, you definitely see it in people, you know, you definitely see it in people around my area. You probably see it in people around your area. There's a certain elevated sort of feeling of like anxiety, you know?
Yeah.
And there's no toilet paper, you know,
or hand sanitizer.
I know. I saw Mike Gaffin post about that the other day. Lots of sugar. He's like, had some Purell. He's like, talking about how it's worth more than gold. I'm like, man, this is true.
Did you? I don't know. There's this show called Rick and Morty.
And I love Rick and Morty. I'm sitting on a Rick and Morty blanket right now. I have actually. I found recently. I was like, I had to get it.
When McDonald's re-released that Szechuan sauce.
Szechuan, yeah.
In Manchester, there was a guy, so I had, like, some friends who were into it. I've never really watched the show, to be honest with you, but I just kind of, like, went along for the ride. I was like, you guys are doing this crazy thing? Okay, I'll come. So we go, and there was a dude, like a drug dealer walking around the parking lot being like, yo, you want a dip? And he was charging $100 for one dip of this stuff. I was like, what?
Really?
Yeah. It was $20. It was $20. $100 for a container of it. Like a normal sauce packet size, or $20 for one dip.
Wow.
Which is funny because I remember the Szechuan sauce actually coming out when it first came out, and it wasn't even good.
But, you know, they've got some good marketing going on with it. Rick and Morty, you can't get much better than that. Oh, my goodness. Yeah,
I'm curious, how much time do you spend, before I ask that, do you guys still do, are you still rebuilding pressure washers and stuff yourself, or do you have someone that does that?
So I'm still like the only field service tech. So I don't know how many customers we have right now. We've been exploding.
Dude,
it's been very hard to. I just do this, you know. I really only. I just do it kind of 7 days a week, and it's just kind of what I do. I wake up and I do it, and you know sometimes I force myself to take a break, you know, and zone out if I can, you know, like on the weekends. If you know, those are usually the best time, but. At the same time, you know, things kind of kick up in a different way on the weekend. So it's, you know, the thing is a lot of our customers, they're working midweek. And then they start having things they need help with throughout Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
You know, I mean, a lot of owner operators, you know, a lot of people who are, you know, only around to wash on the weekend. So I kind of end up like coaching people a lot, or like helping them out, giving them tips, giving them feedback. And, you know, what's cool is, like, the more videos I put out, the more informed everyone seems to be, and then it more becomes – lately I've been noticing people are just sending me these videos of, like, their before and afters, and then I just kind of make a little video out of it with some whatever music and, like, you know, kind of make a cool little thing out of it.
Yeah.
But, like, it's freeing me up more. I think that the more I can teach on the video front of how to do what we do, the better, you know.
Yeah, that's
like
it's
just like scalable, you know. It's it's helpful. I mean, we had one video with I had a rim over. It was like a beat up old rim from a customer of mine that they were gonna just scrap for $20. And I was like, can I just throw you $20 and you give me the rim? You know, because like, it was like it just looked prime for like some restoration, you know. It was like a cracked rim, but it was like really dirty and oxidized down. And so, you know, they were totally up for it. I got the rim, and then I brought it back to the shop, and it was, we just took our mirror polished aluminum stuff I was talking about before.
Yep.
So we took that stuff and we just showed how to restore a rim with it. <You know? laughs> And it got like, ended up at like almost got 75,000 views on Instagram on the IGTV side.
Wow.
And then not as much on YouTube or Facebook and whatnot or TikTok, but it was pretty cool to see that, you know, number come around without any, you know, not like throwing any money at it or anything. It's just like posting it and seeing what happens.
That
but, you know,
that's cool.
that's pretty neat, like, to teach people how to use one of our things, to teach that many people. I mean, I don't even know if you were to visualize that many people, that would be a lot of.
Yeah, that's, you know, like a football stadium.
Yeah, it's like, that's worth it, you know. All I had to do was, like, hang out and, like, be like, hey, let me spray some stuff on here and see if this works, you know. And I don't know, it was fun to see that, you know. So we keep trying to do that. Right now we're trying to build our own truck wash right now, which is pretty exciting.
That looks so cool.
I'm really excited about it. It's very close to done. It's all on me at this point. I just have to get in there and put all the furring strips up for the,
God,
like,
damn it, Bob.
I'm trying to get it done, man. I was in there over the weekend doing a little bit of, like, concrete patching where we did the cut marks and whatnot on the edges, and, like, I gotta make it all, like, tuned up, and I gotta put the wall boards up. I got all this vinyl coming in to put on the walls, you know, to seal it all up so it's all waterproof. So that's kind of cool. And then I got to put lights in on the sides coming in. So it's going to be like the perfect studio, honestly. And we're calling it a truck wash and whatnot. And it, you know, it is, but, like, really the point of it would be to be able to film us using our stuff and teach people how to use the stuff and just show people what it can do, you know, because I think there's a lot of people who have a hard time maybe believing the stuff I post sometimes. You know, I do get some skepticism. And the more I can put out video of, like, here, let's just watch this and just see what we can do without touching it, you know?
Those people that are skeptics, no matter what you do, you'll never appease them.
Yeah.
They'll never be happy. They'll
true.
Never believe you.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, you're building this truck wash to show them, and they're going to be like, I still don't believe you. You can do it at my level, they still aren't going to believe you.
Well, at least I can do it at my place, because the demand has been for a really long time. Oh, you come to me, and you wash my rock present sets. And it's like, oh, come on, man. Like, come on. You're in California, you know?
Fly me out there.
So anyways, you know, it'll be nice to just have some dirty trucks come over to our place, and we'll turn them clean real quick. And then
yeah,
I'll film it, you know? I think it'll be really fun. You know, we'll have a nice, clean, bright, you know, well-lit room, because that's usually what's wrong with wash bays, is they're so dark, like a cave, you know? It's hard to bring a camera in there and feel good about what you're filming, you know?
Right.
And I think hopefully we'll fix that with this room we're building. So all I've got to do is put up the siding on the walls and, like, the furring strips around it. I got to mount the windows in, do the lighting and all that. I got to have my electrician come back in, finish up a few things, mount the power washers and the hose system, vent the burners out, and put a carbon monoxide evacuation system in. So there's just a few things. It's not bad. It's honestly
that last one sounds important, though.
Well, that's a big one. Yeah, that's definitely important. And then, you know, the biggest process was bringing our plan for the thing. You know, we had to get a variance for where we are from the State Board of Plumbing. That was kind of intimidating. And then, you know, we had to, like, go before that board, which is, like, it was quite something, you know. I mean, we knew we had an opportunity where we could build the truck wash over at our shop. But, you know, it was a process getting, you know, I mean, the town was pretty cool. They seemed flexible. We were in the right zoning. And then, you know, the drainage, you know, the way we had to do it, we just had to get a variance from the States. We had to have plans drawn up. You know, I have engineers in the mix. It's been a process, man. It's, like, way beyond my pay grade, man. I don't know. But it's, you know, it was intimidating going up and talking to the plumbing board. You know, it's like 15 of them sit across a panel. And we had to tell them, like, what we wanted to do, you know. And, It was quite a thing. I was pretty relieved when they said yes, because we were pretty invested, man. Honestly,
things like that always seem so weird to me, you know, because, like, you know, I own my house. Like, I couldn't imagine going and asking. I mean, I guess in some situations you have to, like, with construction, with, like, build permits and stuff. But the stuff like that always seems so weird to me. Like it's my property. You know what I mean? Like, I should pretty much just be able to do what I want here.
Yep.
It just seems so strange that, like, I need my taxes need to pay these 14 people to give me permission to build this drain. It's just so strange, you know?
Well, we wanted to kind of, I think we wanted mostly to do it just because we were, you know, we want to do it as right as we can, you know, and you know, any agencies that should be in the mix, you know, we want to put into the mix.
Oh, for sure.
You know
for
what I mean?
Sure.
Like, I just felt like it would probably be smart, too, since my plan was to put it on YouTube. And I'm like, you know, I'm trying to hide it, you know. So that was probably the main thing.
Oh, I
but,
totally
you know,
think you went about it the right way. I just always think that stuff like that's funny. especially because like every time I get into a situation like that, like I feel like I wasn't the best kid in school, and every time I get into a situation like that, I just feel like I'm that kid in the principal's office again, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Dude, I get nervous when I go to my son's school. Like, I sit in, like, for parent-teacher conference, and, like, on the inside, I'm, like, freaking out. Like, it's okay. They don't have control over you anymore, Nick. You don't have to listen to them, you know?
That's pretty funny, man. I guess, you know, for me it's like almost hard to relate, you know. I was never in that position. It's crazy.
Yeah.
TV,
that's right,
shows about it. Yeah,
you literally don't even get it.
Yep. No, it's been crazy to think about.
What was that like?
It's different, you know. I mean, you know, it was not very informative, honestly. I mean, for me it was just I think I learned probably the most when, I learned how to read, whatever, you know, math, all that kind of stuff. I think I learned the most when I was in the high school ages, you know, where I was doing more correspondence kind of courses. You know, the younger stuff, I mean, you'd have to have like a curriculum or something. You know, I think it takes a little more for, you know, parents to get, you know, the schooling done. You know, there's some effort that's required.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, for my situation, I mean, there wasn't a lot of education. I don't know. It's just a little different, you know. This is a different style of upbringing. I was very, very different than most of the other kids around me.
How come they decided to take you through homeschool like that?
I think probably they were probably more concerned with they were very religious. I was raised as a Jehovah's Witness. So, like, you know, the people come and knock on your door on Saturday and bother the fuck out of you, you know. And like, we basically, I was raised as one, and so they were very more kind of, I don't want to say reclusive. I mean, they were reclusive, but they were probably more concerned about, I think, other kids, like, you know, sport, like ruining me in some way or something. It's a whole crazy thing. It's something that I had to put a lot of effort into growing away from.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been an interesting thing. Yeah, there was a lot of like sheltering there, and like it's been a process for me to undo some of that and try and unshelter myself throughout my adult life. It's been important, you know. So like I ended up when I grew up more, so I ended up getting away from the family religion and just kind of like basically, you know, getting more into what I do now, you know, and just kind of like finding some kind of like peace in what I do, just helping other people keep their stuff clean. I don't know what it is about it. It just kind of helps me, you know?
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, everybody, I think anyone who, you know, loves what they do can totally relate to what you're saying as far as that's concerned.
Yeah. I think there's a certain like aspect of like therapy in it for me. When I'm when I'm power washing a truck, I just feel like, I feel like I'm making progress or something. You know what I mean? Like I can see things becoming better in front of me.
Oh, definitely.
Like, and that to me, I don't know, it makes me feel kind of like just a little bit better, you know?
There's a good feeling that comes along, like, especially when something like, cause, like on, for instance, in body work, like when you're prepping something big, like after you stand it, like it looks different. Like you can clearly see that you like, made a difference on this one thing, no matter how small or unimportant or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like you changed it for the better. And I think,
yeah,
just there's a good feeling that comes along with that anyways. And cleaning stuff too. I mean, like there is like a whole thing on YouTube of like videos where people just do like, where they just clean stuff or they cut sponges in half and stuff.
Yeah, I'm very aware. No, there's a lot of like,
I can't remember what it's called.
Something about it's like you kind of, I think, need like at the end of the day, I think after you get so saturated with everything, you know, this going on, there's always some emergency. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, it's like kind of nice to just watch something get cleaned up.
Absolutely.
And just kind of like, okay, I'm just going to watch something get better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For a minute. I think there's something to that. It makes me feel good. It's something that, like, I just, I don't know. It's a weird thing. But I do zone in when I'm in that position. And I think to an extent, I think when I get our little space over here set up where we can do that, it'll probably bring me a little more peace. You know what I mean? Like to just be able to just make things nice. You know what I mean?
Well, when you're using a pressure washer too,
it better in a weird way.
When you're using a pressure washer too, it must like block out. You know what I mean? It must block out all the noise and all the rest of the world too. Like it's probably, it sounds like you're so busy too. It's probably literally the only time when like you can just kind of focus like that.
Yeah, no, I was at a customer the other day and like it's gotten weird. Like more so as time goes on, like I end up realizing there's like a lot of people around, like kind of like really curious about what I'm doing while I'm doing it. Like I'm just like, you know, I'm the guy who shows up and swaps out your power washer gun or your hose or something, you know what I mean? Like, or drops off some soap here or there, you know what I mean? And if I'm doing that and people are huddled around like, wow, what are you doing, man? What is this? You know? And, you know, I remember the other day I was dealing with that, which is, it's fun. It's nice to like teach people what we're doing and like talk about what we're doing. I love doing that. But like at a certain point, I just got a chance to just test out the gear I was working with. And I just started washing some of the trucks down. And it was just nice. And then, like, at a certain point, they're like, hey, do you, you know, you don't have to do all that, you know? Like, no, you don't understand. Like, I'm enjoying this. Let me just wash something, you know? So I'm looking forward to that, you know, most of all. I think I'm hoping to get a bunch of that done. My idea for our truck wash here is just to have it be kind of like a, we're going to call it the club, basically. It's going to be something where, you know, it's kind of limited. It's only one bay. It's like a back in pull out bay. So it's not like a full on truck wash, you know? So it's a little limited on how many people can use it. So I got to figure out a way to have it be like kind of like a member thing. And then, you know, I'm hoping that I can set it up to where, you know, people who I know who have their own trucks seem to want to wash them themselves. You know, they go to the truck wash and they panic about, you know, the brush they just pulled off the floor face down and what's in it and what's in, you know, they're scratching the aluminum, you know, what is that brown soap you're using out of that bucket that's, you know, that 55 gallon drum cut in half in the corner. You know what I mean? Like people are like, these poor guys that I deal with all day are dealing with this stress. They just want to take the power washer gun and wash down their own truck. You know, so I'm going to give them a spot to do it.
Hey,
but I'm hoping to do a bunch of stuff myself there too. I just really want to have like some fun cleaning some things up, you know?
Yeah, no, that sounds wicked cool. I, you know, I don't blame them for wanting to know, especially, I mean, some of these show trucks, especially, I mean, I do commercial fleet work, so we've done some show trucks. We don't do a lot of show trucks. We specialize mostly in doing, you know, trucks that are on the road. But, I mean, like, you know, you have a $10,000 paint job on your cab, you know, it doesn't take much to fuck that up.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, the risk for any of these drivers to go over the road, hit a, you know, a truck wash on the go.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, I just know that's something that's stressing people out. I'm trying to give a nice, safe environment where we can just be like, all right, well, when you're at the crossroads here at 90 and 91 in Massachusetts, you know, we got a spot, you know. And I just think it'd be kind of fun. And mostly I think it'd just be kind of neat to hang out with some people, get some pictures, you know, take some photos.
That's
some
the
videos.
Best part.
Yeah, it'd be a fun thing to do, you know, and eventually I'd like to get it where we can just have some truck shows there, you know, maybe one a year or something.
Yeah, that'd
be awesome. We've done like one or two of them over there and it's been fun, you know, but I want to make it like a regular thing. I think it'd be kind of neat to have like one of the only truck shows with a truck wash, because I think that would be honestly, it would be super handy. You know, it opens up some weird opportunities like wintertime truck shows, you know.
Oh, yeah, that is true. I didn't think about that. That's cool.
Yes. Yeah, so there's, like, I think there's some cool potential with that, you know? So we'll see where it goes.
Well, I like the way you think. You seem to, like, you don't seem to count out anything, you know? It sounds like you're very open to whatever's going to happen.
I've learned that over time. Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. No, it's definitely good to try and be ready for stuff, at least if you can, you know? So
I'm curious how you balance. So obviously, you know, you talked about, you know, like how you love to get in the zone, clean out trucks and stuff. But like, you know, this, what you have is a business, and it sounds like this business has like a lot of different avenues. You know what I mean? Like How much time are you spending, like, focusing on developing new products versus, like, selling what you have now? And, like, how do you balance that? Because I would imagine that must be, like, the hardest thing to balance, especially when you're always chasing something new.
Well, it's hard. I mean, I think it seems like there's a lot of cost to developing the new products because you're spent taking time away from pushing the existing ones. You know what I mean? So it's like, I think the main problem is you're not pushing the existing ones while you're trying to develop new ones.
Well, that must be a weird feeling too.
I don't know what I honestly give as much attention to as I can to the new stuff as the need arises. When something comes up on the new stuff, I tend to focus on it until that topic has reached its point where we can move on and move back to what we're currently working on. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. So like you kind of trust the people that you're working with to handle it. And if they are unable to, they'll contact you. Like if there's a problem, they'll contact you. You don't necessarily you don't need to have your hands in that every single day.
For my own time, it's more of a delegating like trust thing.
Right.
Between different people who make different, like it could be the chemists for like, let's say the Stars and Stripes, like, you know, as we were developing those, you know, we'd had issues with the dye. We had issues with fallout of the foaming agent. We had issues with performance initially. We had issues with the foaming agent and needing more foam to come out of the stuff. You know, like it was just, I mean, you know, these are topics that, you know, as they come up and as I see them, I can kind of bring them to the attention of the chemists. And then it's like, okay, well, now it's just back into your, now the ball's in your court. You know what
right.
I mean? So then I go back to marketing, you know, at that moment, then I can be free to, because there's a lot of actually aspects. I mean, there's the owning the thing. I mean, there's like the banking thing and there's like the, you know, the answering the questions, things, those are all very, you know, they take a lot of time. The marketing, I try and put as much effort on that secondary to the development of the new product, I would say, but it's interrupted with a lot of other stuff.
Right.
So like the, you know, it's tricky to make the marketing work when you're like taking a lot of curveballs, you know, because like I kind of have to zen out a little bit if I'm editing videos down and I have to be able to, you know, focus for a minute without like a phone call coming in or like a question about this issue. So it's tricky. And honestly, it takes, I don't know what my boundary, it would probably be cool if I had a structure. Honestly, it's kind of like there's priorities to different things, and it just kind of flexes between different, you know, things I'm focusing on throughout the day. I don't know. I hope I figure out a better way to do it down the road. You know,
honestly, it sounds very similar to what I think probably most business owners deal with. It just comes down to, you know, prioritizing and then expecting for those priorities to change, you know, minute by minute as they need to.
I think that's probably the common experience. Yeah. I think you're probably right.
And it sounds like you have like a good team. Like you were saying, you can a lot of like the actual development is delegated. So, you know, it sounds like your day to day is more spent on the traditional kind of aspects of the business and not so much on the development side.
Well, it's possible. You know, I mean, there's just a lot of different things that come up, you know.
Yeah.
You know, there's even the service aspect. I mean, I've got to figure out sometime soon a service guy, man. It's I'll tell you what, it's been crazy just trying to keep up from that aspect. Cause if there's a piece that breaks in, you know, New Hampshire somewhere, that's me fixing it. So, you know,
that has to be like a major time suck for you too.
Well, that's a day, you know, I mean, each issue is one day. Really, really, really stretch it out to a far distance, you know?
Right.
So it's tricky, man. It's definitely tricky. But, you know, everybody seems pretty happy. So, so far, so good.
Hey, that's awesome. You seem really happy. You sound like, you honestly seem like one of the happiest, kind of like busiest people I've ever met. Like, considering how much it sounds like you have on your plate, you seem like you're having the time of your life.
I appreciate it. I definitely am. I would definitely classify it that way. Yeah. So this. Yeah, you know, it's been a dream for a long time to do stuff like this and to, you know, just be free to pursue it, you know, as much as possible, you know. And it's just fun. I've been having a great time with it, and it's I've met a lot of really cool people along the way who have been really you know, awesome additions into my life, you know. So I'm really grateful for a lot of stuff. The more, you know, the more I think about it, you know, there's a lot to be thankful for.
That's awesome. I'm super glad to hear that. So. That's actually all of my questions that I have for you today.
Nice, man.
You killed it. Thank you so much.
I'll tell you what,
on.
This is pretty cool, man. I've never been on a podcast before, so this is pretty exciting. So.
Well, you did fantastic.
I appreciate you having me on, man. Super super cool of you.
I appreciate it. I'd love to have you on again sometime if you're willing.
I'm up for it anytime. You let me know.
Awesome, man. Where can people find you?
So I'm known probably primarily as chem.x on Instagram. We're chemx on Facebook. We're chemx on YouTube. My website is chem-x.com. That's probably the main thing. You know, we have an 800 number where people reach out to us. It's 800-624-5403. So that's where primarily I was talking about Keith earlier. He's the one who runs that number. And that's usually where people submit requests for equipment, you know, power washing needs, repairs, stuff like that. Or if they need some help with a bigger order, like drum sizes, you know, that all kind of comes in through there. Other than that, mostly all the stuff comes in through the website, you know. Just the gallons, you know, the foamers, all that kind of stuff, that all runs through chemx.com. So that's pretty much how to connect with us. That's pretty much it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, Bob. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, man. Take care.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for checking out the episode. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find more about Bob and his company on Instagram at ChemX, C-H-E-M dot the letter X. And if you liked the episode, I'd appreciate it if you went and left us a review. Or if you hated the episode, I'd appreciate it if you went and left us a review. Just let me know what you think. Tell me how I can do better. I want to do better. I need your guys' input to do that. If you don't want to leave me a review, shoot me a DM and tell me what you think. I want to know. So please tell me. Thank you very much, guys. I hope you have a great day.